What's going on, everybody? Episode 163, the Binge Boys Podcast. It's time to review 2020 with movies and TV. Matt and Mitch are joining me again.
We are doing it. 2020. Let's see what it was like. What was yours like, Logan?
A lot of people are saying that it's a movie.
2020 was like a movie.
To that effect, we're gonna talk about movies and TV.
That doesn't flow as well.
Because TV these days are like a movie.
Yeah, the movie was Contagion.
Damn. Wasn't ready for that one. But yeah, 2020 was a pretty shitty movie. 2020 was like Mulan.
Oh, dude, Mulan just catching strays left and right.
Nobody's bashing Mulan back-to-back episodes like this. But yeah, movies and TV. Which one do you guys want to go first, TV?
I say we do movies. We got more TV to talk about than I got movies to talk about.
Okay, that's fair. Let's do movies first. So everybody knows how we do it this time, because last time we kind of went overboard talking about albums. So we don't want to do that and then like not give an appropriate amount of time for TV, because both can be pretty big conversations. But yeah, I guess we'll start out with movies. We're going to do our 10, 9, 8 a piece, discuss if needed, then, you know, 7, 6, 5, discuss if needed. 4, 3, 2. I was skipping 4 earlier when I was singing off mic. 4, 3, 2, and then our ones. So let's just get right into it. You guys ever watch Jeremy John's, his YouTube videos? Like his top 10 lists are like number 10.
It has literally been a decade since I have watched Jeremy John's on
YouTube. Jeremy John's fucks. What do you mean?
I just fell out of it. And I just like haven't watched it. He's a good guy.
Yeah. Number 10. So my number 10 for movie of the year, well, maybe not movie of the year, but my number 10 on this list for top movies of 2020 is Just Mercy. Dropped with Jamie Foxx, Brie Larson,
Michael B. Jordan.
Yes, Michael B. Jordan, of course. What's crazy is like putting some of these movies on this list, it felt like 2 years ago, but it was really just in 2020, just at the very beginning. Just Mercy, I think, came out like February. Really, really good movie. Really relevant movie for today's times. If you haven't seen it, I highly encourage it. My number 9 on the list is The Gentlemen, a gangster dark comedy starring Matthew McConaughey. It's a fun one. I'll say that. Really entertaining, really raunchy, just a damn good time. In the theater. Number 8, Palm Springs on Hulu, the Andy Samberg movie that just, you know, we were worried that it was just going to be a repeat of Groundhog Day, but it kind of did it in its own fashion, and that's why it earned its way on the list. Matt, what is your 10, 9, and 8?
Well, I completely spaced on Just Mercy, so it would have been on my list had I known otherwise, because that movie's phenomenal. But anyway, number 10 is The Platform, a Netflix kind of psychological thriller. I think it was in Spanish. It was cool. Definitely not sort of up my alley, and that's why it's at the bottom of the list. Number 9 is Devil All the Time. We watched it for the show here. I think that might have been a me and Logan episode, but it was pretty good, man. Mainly, you'll hear this a lot, but I put a lot of weight in the cast, and that cast was phenomenal. And then my number 8 was The Old Guard, a Netflix original movie as well. Get ready for that trope, but it was a good action movie. Kind of a unique twist with sort of unkillable soldiers that I thought was pretty unique and a fun watch. Mitch, where's your list starting out?
All right. Well, my number 10.
It's John's into the chat.
Is this movie from Netflix? Is The Outpost? It's a war movie. I'm spacing out on the actors in it, but really, really good. Just a war, kind of like your typical war film. I thought it showed like really good signs of like what people in the military struggle with when they're put through like a severe battle, dealing with like PTSD. They kind of touch on that after the movie, and it's based on a true event that happened. I can't remember where or when, but just a solid movie. At number 9, I have Wonder Woman 1984, which I know we already talked about. I thought that it was a good movie, so I thought it was good enough to make the top 10. Definitely, if you want to hear our pros and cons on that, look back at the previous episode we talked about it on. And at number 8, I have also The Old Guard, another Netflix movie. And Matt already talked about it and did a pretty good job talking about it. So Charlize Theron is excellent in it, and I'm looking forward to potential sequels because I really enjoyed the concept behind that movie. So, Logan, what do you got for 765?
765, starting it off at 7, I put Soul. Same episode that we discussed Wonder Woman 1984, our post-Christmas episode. Go back and check that out for our full thoughts. But in summary, I had some time to think about it, and in our initial review, I kind of bashed it a little more than I think I deserve to with time and thinking about it. It was a pretty damn good movie with a good message. Few things still don't land with me on it, but overall, a good Disney Pixar movie nonetheless. My number 6 is The Way Back, starring Ben Affleck. Where he plays an alcoholic, retired such and such, and then becomes a, or maybe he's not retired. Maybe I think he's just a bum. But he becomes he becomes a high school basketball coach, and it's a really heartwarming story that talks about alcoholism and abuse, and pretty awesome directing and acting by Ben Affleck. I mean, you know what to expect when you're getting a movie that was directed and starring Ben Affleck. It's always going to be pretty damn good. So that's a really solid one if you want to check that out. And then number 5, a movie I forgot about until I didn't forget about it. Birds of Prey and One Emancipation of One Harley Quinn. Matt, by Matt's face, it seems that he disapproves of its ranking.
No, I just haven't seen it. I was completely spaced that it came out this year.
Well, it did, and I had a really good time watching this movie.
All right. I'm in.
It was a solid run. Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn, something we love. The standout of the movie is Ewan McGregor playing Black Mask. He plays a flamboyant, evil, snarky Black Mask that was, at first, I was kind of worried about. I was like, oh no, I don't know how I feel about this direction they're going. But he was fucking fantastic, and he was the best part of the movie. And unfortunately, I don't know if we'll be getting more Ewan McGregor as Black Mask because of how the movie ended. But I really hope that somehow they figure out a way to get him back in there, because he was a phenomenal villain. One of DC's best villains that they've done in their modern cinematic universe or whatever. So yeah, that's my 765. Matt, what's your 765?
So my number 7 is Happiest Season, colloquially known as the Hulu lesbian movie, about Christmas time. You know, definitely a plot that's not, doesn't really stand up to much scrutiny and kind of falls off, but let me give you some of the cast. Kristen Stewart, Alison Brie, Dan Levy, Aubrey Plaza. You get those people together, you're going to make something special. So I think it was worth watching. I'll probably watch it, you know, once every year or so around Christmas time. And for that, I think it deserves the number seven spot. Number six, I'm putting the two-thirds of The Social Dilemma that wasn't reenactments. I don't formally have that on my list, but that's really what I'm doing. It's just kind of stuck with me. I feel like it's a movie that's come up in conversation more than almost anything else on this list. So figured it should do that. And then my number five is Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. So this was Chadwick Boseman's last performance before he died. So it came out on Netflix a little while ago. I watched it with my family over the holidays since my dad is a big fan of the other August Wilson plays. And it's not a fun watch. It's pretty depressing like all of them, but that doesn't mean it's not just a fantastic performance from Chadwick Boseman, Viola Davis, and definitely some others that I'm not thinking of. But yeah, so that's what's rounding out my next three. So Mitch, you're up. What are your next three movies?
Well, my next movie is at number seven, is another Netflix movie, Extraction. this movie is a Chris Hemsworth action film. Basically just, you know, I want to just say like balls to the wall, just every action trope that you can think of happens in this movie. I mean, it's just, I feel like it went kind of under the radar on Netflix, but I could be wrong. I can't remember what the kind of, what are the words that I'm looking for? The statistics when the movie came out. I don't know how well it did, but I really enjoyed it. I think I watched this a couple of times. That's why it came in at number seven. At number six is one of the documentary movies that I watched recently. This movie's just titled Belushi, and it's about John Belushi and his basic rise to fame and the struggles that he dealt with in his life, and kind of like the stuff that he's known for, like Animal House and Saturday Night Live, and just kind of like it had a lot of behind the scenes stuff about what he was going through. And there were phone call recordings and interviews with people that really talk about like who he was as a person, and just kind of like his, you know, the struggle with living and stuff. And it was really, really interesting documentary that I was fortunate enough to be able to watch. And at number five, I've got another documentary, the Bee Gees, How to Mend a Broken Heart. This was another really good documentary about the Bee Gees' rise to fame in the 60s and 70s and late 80s or early 80s. And just highly recommend watching this documentary and the previous one. I think this Bee Gees documentary is on HBO Max. The Belushi documentary might be on Showtime. Really good documentaries. Just that's why I have them on my list. Logan, what do you got cracking your top five?
My number four is a movie I forgot about, but a great one nonetheless. And that's Pixar's Onward. Or I don't know if it's a Pixar movie, but I know it's a Disney animation movie. Onward, story about Tom Holland and Chris Pratt playing goblins or of some kind, and they go on a quest to try to revive their dead dad. The Disney movie, you gotta know that there's a dead parent somewhere in there. Really good story. I saw it, made me shed a tear, made me think of my relationship with my brother. It was really good on that. It kind of made you think about family a lot, and how important that is, especially during crazy times. So Onward, I'm pretty sure, was the last movie I saw in theaters before the pandemic too. Sad. So
you didn't go and see in Bad Boys for Life?
I didn't actually. I've never seen any of the Bad Boys movies, to be honest with you.
I haven't either.
Am I the only one?
I also just realized that Tenet didn't crack my list. That's okay. Number three, I'm surprised now that that I'm reading it that it made it this high on the list, but Wonder Woman 1984. I've had some more time to think about it, and I don't know if I should be putting this here. Honestly, I think I might switch the placement of Wonder Woman and Soul. I think Soul deserves it to be the number three spot, and Wonder Woman should be down at seven. So I might switch that last minute. But as at the time that I wrote this, Wonder Woman made the top list. I mean, like Mitch said, it was a fun action movie. It was a DC movie. I don't have anything more to say about it. Go check out our thoughts on that other episode. And then number two, right?
Yep.
And then we break it off. Number two is a movie that Matt touched on, The Devil All the Time. Netflix movie, Robert Pattinson, Tom Holland. I really liked it. It connected with me instantly. I thought the cast did phenomenal. Tom Holland showing us that he can do more than just Spider-Man. Robert Pattinson showing us that he can be a very... Robert Pattinson is... I know he's got the problem, or he's got the unfortunate look on him because he was in Twilight, but Robert Pattinson is a really good actor.
He's a good actor, man.
Give this movie a shot if you haven't already. But yeah, go watch Devil All the Time, man. I really enjoyed it. So with that said, Matt, what you got for 4-3-2?
So my number four, it's been talked about already, but Palm Springs. I didn't foresee this landing as high on my list, but just Andy Samberg allowed to do kind of a good mix of comedy and then some heart like around the middle is good. Also, good to see the mother from How I Met Your Mother get some more stuff. Christina Milioti, I believe is her name. Sorry to do that. But yeah, just a really solid movie that I haven't seen enough. I want to watch it a few more times. And then my number three is The Trial of the Chicago 7. That sort of came out in the fall, really kind of echoing a lot of the protests over the summer. With its messages about how to protest and the proper stuff. And I'm a sucker for a good good courtroom drama and some good Aaron Sorkin writing. So it was just hitting me right in the right spot. And then my number two, it's been talked about on this last week and then earlier today, and that is Soul. Just the more I think about it, the more just the physical beauty of the movie and then its message is just really resonating with me. So I won't talk about it any more than anyone else has. So my number two is Soul. Mitch, what brings us right up to your number one, but not quite there?
Well, at number four, I have Palm Springs as well.
Yeah.
I really, really enjoyed this movie. Love the concept of being stuck in a day and just having to relive the day over and over again. That concept is awesome. And Andy Samberg and Kristen Milioti were really good choices for the characters, I thought. And it's just a really fun movie to watch. At number three, I have Tenet, which was the only movie that I saw in theaters this year. Made a special trip to go out to a theater to watch it. And it was a really good film. My only real gripes about it were that I felt like the pacing was a little bit awkward, but just a really solid film, solid cast. I'm honestly, I haven't seen it since I saw it in theaters, and I'll have to I'll probably be renting it sometime soon to watch it again. Just because I forget most of what actually happened, because that movie is kind of like all over the place. At number two, I have Hamilton. Which is, I was making this list and I was like, I have to have Hamilton on here. And it really did crack my top five. And I think number two spot's really good for where I put it on my list. I was fortunate enough to be able to see this play live in person like a year or two ago. Not with the Lin-Manuel Miranda, that like original cast, but I saw it live and like really enjoyed it. And then really leading up to that moment of watching it, of traveling and watching it on Broadway. And shit, where was I going with this? basically, to sum it down before I like get into like a long story. So long story short, my family's just been like running the Hamilton soundtrack in this household for probably a good two and a half years, it feels like. And so we're big Hamilton stands at this household. So just really enjoyed watching the Disney Plus release of the original cast pretty much. And yeah, now we'll be able to watch Hamilton whenever we want without having to like bootleg a somebody's filmed copy of it on the internet. Cause that's what my brother was doing. He's like, I got to see this play. Live, and I'm like, we're going in like 2 months, and he's like, no, but I gotta see it now. So he like search up on the internet like somebody who filmed it. Oh man, but yeah, that's what I got at number two. So Logan, what do you got at number one?
Number one. A movie that I forgot released in 2020. Oh man. And I love it every single time I think about it. The Invisible Man with, sorry, I can't think of her name, the chick from Mad Men, Elizabeth Moss. Also, shouts to Mad Men. That show's fucking awesome. I fucking love John Hamm. But back to The Invisible Man. Just a really good movie, man. Really good thriller. A movie that I wasn't expecting to like as much as I did. It's really just truly an outstanding movie. They talked about it. It was pretty much the talking point like all of January of 2020. It was a really good watch, man. I really highly recommend it. The CGI was awesome. I thought it could have been something that was really cheesy, but they did it in a way that just made it really fucking good. And Elizabeth Moss is an outstanding actress. She pretty much carries the movie. She's the only real like character besides the Invisible Man. And she absolutely murdered it. And unfortunately, because it's a sci-fi kind of ish weird movie, she probably won't get nominated for an award, but I think she deserves it. She did absolutely amazing. So yeah, check out The Invisible Man. I'm pretty sure it's out that you could rent it for not $20. I think you could get it for like $4. If you rent it on Amazon or Apple or wherever, but really fucking good movie, man. So yeah, Matt, what's your favorite movie of the year?
My number one movie of the year is Hamilton.
Wow.
Yeah. Nobody saw that coming. I feel like, it sounds like my living situation is a little bit less Hamilton focused than Mitch's, but that doesn't mean, I didn't have it spinning for a while. And yeah, getting to see the put some faces to the voices of the original cast recording that, you know, is completely worn out and completely worn down the grooves on my Spotify of it is just like a treat. And I think that they did a really good job of bringing the, like, I feel like filming a musical like that is really difficult. And apparently it's like stitched together from like three like nights of performances, which is just like an incredible feat of editing that if I hadn't heard that, I wouldn't have believed it, and I can only like barely tell in like half of a place. So I think it's just incredible. I think it's just a really good way to be able to experience the show. And yeah, like Mitch said, I also had the was fortunate enough to go and see it live in Chicago. So definitely not that cast, but it definitely comes, I feel like it comes as close as it could to replicating the in theater experience that we can get right now. So yeah, not to say the same things Mitch has already said too many times, but yeah, Hamilton's my number one. So Mitch, what's your number one movie of the year and why is it Bad Boys for Life?
Well, it is not Bad Boys for Life, but it is Soul. And this movie really, I didn't get to talk about it last week or a couple weeks ago, whenever we talked about it last. This movie really like tugged on my heartstrings, and like I felt really connected to the characters, and the story behind it was just really emotional. And I don't know, like I almost like broke down and cried like after watching the ending. And I don't know why, but I mean, everything was great about this movie. Like everything was really great in this movie. The casting choices for the voice actors I thought was really, really awesome. The animation was unbelievable. And kind of like what you guys were saying when we talked about it is I kind of do want to see like more about more from the perspective of the character instead of like in the before, how did they call it? Like
in the great before, great beyond. Before. Yeah.
Yeah. To just kind of see like a Pixar movie, or is it Pixar? It was Pixar. To see a Pixar movie in that, like not live action, but like in that world of like normalcy of people, or instead of like being in like the animated world. I don't know. I'm rambling now. My thoughts are just all over the place for this film. It was so good. I felt it really packed a punch in what they were trying to like describe as like, shit, like the premise of it is really dark, but at the same time they bring so much light and like breathability. Like you're able to like watch it and not think about the actual dire consequences of people being dead. And like, yeah,
this man falls down a manhole at the beginning of the movie. Yeah. And dies. Or
like there's the one scene where he's like running, when he's like in the great before or whatever, and he's on that like
the treadmill, yeah.
Yeah, the platform thing, and he's like running back and he's like, I can't go to the light yet or whatever. And then literally all these people are just like jumping up into the light and they're just like, it's like yeah, literally me and my sister, we were like, we turned to each other and like, that's really funny but also really dark, like to like to just like think about that, like up, oh, time to go, jump into the light, and then bam, zapped like a bug. But yeah, there were so many like small funny moments in the movie that I thought were great. And just it was such a lighthearted but also like realistic portrayal of what they're trying to say as like being soulful, or like having like the whole premise of it, I guess, was like, oh, you're supposed to have a purpose, but really it's like you don't have to have a purpose in life. You just can live for the small moments and joy and happiness, and like those are the moments that you kind of that often get overlooked, but those are the moments that like really make life what it is. So I don't know.
And we'll take that deepness and we'll take it Shouts to whoever's house is burning down. Damn. hope they're listening.
Who's entering the great beyond?
Oh, God, that's horrible.
I don't know.
Shouts to whoever's on their way to being zapped. But, yeah, there's our top movies. Hamilton, The Invisible Man, and Soul. Couldn't be more diverse.
Nope.
One's about an animated character dying and going to heaven. The other is about a musical about racial inequality, and the other one is about a woman that's being stalked by an ex-lover. So, yeah, those are our top movies. Moving right into TV, we're going to do the same thing. 3, 3, 3, and 1. I'll go ahead and kick us right off. Number 10 of my favorite things that I watched or binged this year is The Haunting of Bly Manor. Wasn't crazy about Hill House. But Bly Manor was an entertaining watch. At first, I was really pissed off because I didn't know what the hell was happening. But it was good shit by the end of it. So shouts to Bly Manor. Number 9, The Queen's Gambit, little mini 6-episode series that came out a few months back about chess. Not a big chess guy myself. In fact, I don't know anything about it. And that kind of made me not want to watch the show at first, but I was quick to be surprised that it was very good. And then number 8, The Undoing on HBO, also a short little mini series about starring what's her name, Nicole Kidman, Hugh Grant, as well as some other people. Very, very good, very bingeable. Also 6 episodes. Check out Bly Manor, Queen's Gambit on Netflix, and The Undoing on HBO. Matt, what you got at your number, your final 3 on the list?
So my first 2 will show you some interest, not into just my TV watching, but also my podcast listening. So my number 10 is the series Connected on Netflix. It is hosted by journalist Latif Nasser from Radiolab. A very well-produced sort of science-esque news podcast. And it just sort of is a really good TV version of the show and just the sort of things that they talk about and sort of show weird connections. Obviously, it's called Connected through just the different parts of the natural and artificial world. And then my number 9 is the Song Exploder Netflix series based off the Song Exploder podcast. I think I've talked about that last week in our top songs that they helped me do it. So basically the show is, again, just like I said, a sort of a visual version of the podcast where they, you know, take apart an artist's song just from back to front and production, lyrics, all of it. And good tie-in since on the first collection, they had Wait For It from Hamilton and able to sit down with Lin-Manuel Miranda himself. And yeah, they already released a second volume earlier in December. So there's plenty to binge there if that sounds interesting to you. And then number 8 is a Netflix series called Trial by Media, sort of staying on the docu-series. It's just really interesting ways, stories of crimes and trials and how the media really played a part in either causing them or, you know, shifting like public opinion of them. Just really, really interesting. If, you know, you're sort of into media, communication, the news, like any of that and its effect on all of us, I would definitely recommend that. So, Mitch, where's your list starting off at?
Well, my list is starting off with Outer Banks. Teen drama shit. Series.
The OBX.
Teen shit. Drama series on Netflix. And I had to put this on my list because I was almost not forced to watch this, but this was all my brother and sister could talk about for like the first couple of weeks that it was out. They're like, oh, I'm binging this show, like, it's so good. And then, like, after the first couple of days that they finished the show, they were like, yeah, I'm rewatching it. And, like, they were just constantly talking about this show. And finally, I was like, well, I'll give it a shot. And I wasn't really, didn't have a lot of high expectations for it, but turned out to be pretty good. Kind of like Goonies-esque adventure type of show. And there's like some romance in it, which is pretty, you know, cliche romance stuff, but pretty interesting show. Looking forward to the next season. Cause I'll probably watch it. but I had to throw that in there because I'm an East Coaster and I frequent the Outer Banks every couple of years or so. So I wanted to see if it was true to what I know of the Outer Banks. And as far as I could tell, it was nothing that I had ever experienced while going to the Outer Banks. So, but other than that, it was pretty solid show. At number nine, I have the Euphoria special episode that came out late in the year, the episode about Rue. This would have been higher on my list had I not already put the list pretty much together, and I just felt like this needed to be on the list no matter what spot it was at. Just this one episode I thought was just phenomenal. You can tune back into whichever episode we talked about that on. I can't remember which episode. To hear more of my thoughts on that. And at number eight, I have Solar Opposites, which was an animated show created by Justin Roiland of Rick and Morty fame. And he's also done tons of other animated stuff in the past, works on shows like Gravity Falls and other stuff that I've watched. But this show is so funny to me. They have an episode where there's a premise of these people are getting captured by the young kid aliens of the show. Cause it's like based on aliens or whatever, an alien family. And if you haven't seen the show, I highly recommend it because there's literally a premise of the kid aliens are capturing and shrinking people and putting them in the wall. And they do like a whole segment of like an episode where these people that are like trapped in this wall are like fighting for their lives and like living their lives in this wall. And it's so great. But yeah, that's what I got at what number is that? Number eight. So what do you got? What do you got for number seven?
My number six, or my number, sorry, seven through five couldn't be more diverse. Number seven, I've got Ozark season three.
Okay.
Hit. Ooh. With Jason Bateman, filmed right around the corner from me in Atlanta. Shouts to the people who thought it was filmed in Ozarks, because it's not. It's filmed right up the street. You can go to the restaurant in the show. Me and Catherine went up there one afternoon. And you had lunch at that Blue Oyster Bar or grill or whatever that they do in the show that Marty and the fam work at in the early seasons. Very good. Very good. Just a kick-ass show. The series or the season ended with a hell of a cliffhanger, for us to get the final season of Ozark sometime soon. I assume in 2021 at some point, maybe COVID pushed that back. I'm not sure. But I'm super excited to see that. Number six is the only entry from Apple TV Plus that made it. However, there were a few shows that I think could have had a spot on here had there not been so much good TV this year. But my favorite kind of one that stood out was Defending Jacob. It stars Chris Evans, our Captain America, as the title role. He plays a guy who's the father of a boy who is accused of murdering one of his classmates in middle school. And he basically has to fight for his son's freedom and his son's innocence. And it's a really, really good show, one season. It's a one and done. It's based off of a book. Chris Evans did a phenomenal acting job. The main kid in the show is also the kid that's in. He's in It. He's the kid, the stuttering kid from It. He's also in Knives Out as well. I forget the kid's name, but he did a phenomenal job, and it was just a really gripping show. And I was worried about Chris Evans, you know, being Captain America. Not sure if he's got the acting chops to do anything else, but he does. And it was really good. So I'd check that out if you could get your hands on Apple TV Plus, like a free trial or something. And then at my number five slot, we've got Dave. Season one aired this year. None other than Lil Dicky. His little Atlanta-esque show where it kind of shows what his life is like. Also produced by FX. So that's the Atlanta and Dave connection there. Just kind of showing Lil Dicky's day in the life of being Lil Dicky. Kind of a comedy, kind of a dark comedy. Very similar vibe to Atlanta. Atlanta's a little more dark, mm-hmm. but they're both similar enough for me to compare the two. But it was really good. It was really funny. It was really good seeing that Lil Dicky is one of those guys, very much so like Childish Gambino. I'm not going to put them on the same scale in terms of their music career, but they're both very much so talented in more than one avenue rather than just music. They're both very talented actors and writers. So, yeah, it was really impressive for me. I really enjoyed Dave season one. Hopefully season two comes around at some point soon. Or just drop the fucking album, Dickie. What are you doing, dude? come on, Dickie. Matt, what's got your 7-6-5 slot?
So for number seven, yet another sort of, I guess this is like a Netflix revival of the classic Unsolved Mysteries. So we were going to review this for an episode, but it just didn't quite come together. But I really dug it, so much so that I believe we were watching volume two for the app. I went back and watched the first volume that they had released earlier in the summer. So yeah, I thought it was good. Just more well-produced docs that don't really serve to answer any questions, but just try to let you know that there's some crazy things happening in our world, whether it's paranormal or crime related. Number six is High Score, video game documentary that was really well done, sort of loosely telling the history of video games, and nothing really else needed to say about that one. It's really good. So I'll save my words for number five, which they did release this last season, you know, seemingly 7 years ago, but really it was just in January, the finale season of BoJack Horseman.
Oh, fuck.
Hey, Logan, I'm guessing it made your list, right?
Probably. Same thing not. With Outer Banks, dude. I really fucked with Outer Banks.
Yeah.
God.
But yeah, probably not as high as BoJack could have been, but I feel like just anytime you know, put a hard finish on any kind of finale, you're going to, you know, leave something on the table or just make people sad because, you know, it's over now. But really good show. I feel like in the last season, they did a good job of making sure that BoJack was held accountable for just all the BS you put anyone through. So I just really appreciate that they did that. But just sort of sad that it's over. So that is my next three. Mitch, what's your 7, 6, and 5 looking like?
Well, my number seven is The Boys on Amazon. That show just had its second season come out, and it was really good. I'm bummed that this show only gets 8 episodes per season, but they do a really good job with the episodes that they have, and a shitload of stuff happened this season. Potentially, I would like to talk about that week by week next year when they release the third season, because that's another show that comes out every week. And really solid, dark comic humor. If you haven't Heard of The Boys, go ahead and look that up on Amazon Prime. Highly recommend.
It'll crush you, Mitch. I haven't seen an episode.
Me either.
Dude, you guys will really like it. It's really
It's one of those that everybody tells me about, and I'm like, I've got it. It's on my list, but I just never get to it. But I know that I agree with you. I'd love to do a week-by-week thing. Also, before you continue, catch us doing a shitload of week-by-week TV with the Star Wars and Disney Plus and Marvel shit we're going to get this year. Catch us doing a lot of week-by-week shit because WandaVision starts next Friday.
There we go. So
there's a tease for that. Boom, next Friday. But go ahead. Keep going, Mitch.
Well, at number six, I have a little-known show called High Fidelity on Hulu. This show came out this year and kind of went really under the radar. It's a rom-com show starring Zoe Kravitz, but it's really fucking good. Highly recommend. There's only this one season because it got canceled. So sons of bitches at Hulu thought that this wasn't good enough, even though I think it just was like not marketed properly. But it was really good one season. There's 10 episodes. Just really good acting from Zoe Kravitz. And, you know, it's got a lot of music in it. It's about a record store. So it's really cool. My number five is Westworld Season 3. Now, this show, I've been following this show for a long time, since way before it came out. But this Season 3 was highly, I was anticipating this season to be like stellar. It wasn't necessarily stellar, but it was really good. it had Aaron Paul in it, and Kid Cudi's in it for a bit. He plays a small role in the show this current season. They kind of just, you know, it's dystopian future robots and, you know, moral consequences of whether or not things are good and bad and what other random shit that I could spew out of my mouth that would try to describe this show. But Season 3 was really good. Looking forward to Season 4. That's what I got for my number 5. Logan, what do you got at number 4?
It also pisses me off that I started Westworld Season 2, and for some reason, maybe just wasn't in the headspace, but I just couldn't get into Season 2 at the beginning, so I kind of fell off and stopped. But I want to go back and watch Season 2 so I can watch Season 3, because I love my boy Aaron Paul. Also can thank Mitch for getting me on that Breaking Bad bandwagon way back in the day when that was on TV. I'm pretty sure I went over... I have a lot better of a memory than I thought I did. Pretty sure I went over to your place to watch the finale of Breaking Bad when it aired on TV.
Probably.
We gathered a lot for a lot of those shows. Didn't we gather every week for The Walking Dead? I thought we did. I could be wrong.
Maybe.
But
that would have been Sunday night, so it's potential. I can't remember.
So, yeah, The Boys and Westworld both are on the list for early 2021 to watch so I can get up to date. I know it's probably going to be a minute until they give us another Westworld season.
Yeah.
Those take a fuck ton of time.
Westworld's a real slow burn. So if you want a slow burn show, there is some action in it. But, I mean, it can be kind of slow. So I understand where you're coming from on that second season, because that's the second season's kind of rough at definitely at the beginning.
But in terms of my, what is it? My 4 through 2 already. Damn. My number 4 is Ratched Season 1 on Netflix. Stars Sarah Paulson from the creators of the American Horror Story franchise. Comes a new show that is equally as bloody and equally as weird, but very entertaining. I highly recommend watching it. It's very entertaining. Sarah Paulson is an amazing actress. She kills it. It's a really, really weird show. I don't really even know how to describe the plot to you. You should just check it out. Take a couple episodes. I think it's only 8 or 10 episodes. Just check it out. Can't wait for a season 2 on that. My top 5 was hard to make. I shuffled, except for number 1. I think Mitch and I might have a very similar number 1, unless he puts it somewhere else. Okay. He's shaking his head. No, okay. But my number 3 is Ted Lasso, season 1. My mistake. Another entry from Apple TV Plus. Really enjoyed Ted Lasso, man. Jason Sudeikis, another one of my favorite comedic actors. He's funny as fuck. His demeanor about him is what makes him funny. He plays a character in this that is a American football coach, but gets hired to go coach a UK soccer team with having no soccer experience. And he's just an American running around in an English country, and it's full of just drama, but also just dark humor and really lovable characters. Ted Lasso, especially. Pretty sure, I don't know if you guys know this, but Ted Lasso was created off of like an ESPN commercial.
Yeah.
He was a character that Jason Sudeikis like played in a commercial, and the commercial was so popular that someone was like, let's write a TV series for that guy. So, and it worked. Ted Lasso is like one of the most talked about shows of the year. So, really enjoy it. Check out Apple TV Plus. Apple TV Plus low key had some heavy hitters, but some of them dropped off. I guess we're not really doing honorable mentions, but an honorable mention for Apple TV would be Truth Be Told, starring Octavia Spencer and Aaron Paul. It's really also really good. It's about a podcast that it's just fucking good, dude. Some of Apple's shows turned out to be pretty damn good. A lot of us were probably mocking them when they announced their streaming service. I know I sure was, but I regret to have mocked them. And then number 2, man, my number 1 and number 2 really could be flipped, but my number 1 is obvious, but I won't say it yet. But my number 2 is the entirety of Schitt's Creek. I put the entirety just because season 6 aired this year. However, I hadn't seen any of Schitt's Creek up until this year. So I just binged the whole show start to finish and absolutely loved it. I mean, I could go on and on about how incredible the writers are, the actors. Dan Levy is a force to be reckoned with, dude. I can't wait to see the more stuff he does. Of course, Eugene Levy, eyebrows from American Pie. We stan Jim's dad, as well as her name that's escaping me, but I can't remember it. But the mom from Home Alone, she's amazing.
Catherine O'Hara.
Yes, Catherine O'Hara playing Moira. In Schitt's Creek. It's a fantastic show, man. It's 6 seasons, short and to the point. There's a short Netflix documentary about the show and the making of the show. And Dan Levy just talks so much about their vision for it and what they wanted to do. And it's really inspiring and it's really, really, really good, especially with him and his husband / boyfriend throughout the show. You know, them highlighting gay lovers and stuff and having that whole thing be a thing. I don't know. It just hit home for me. I really enjoyed it. Schitt's Creek's a fantastic show. Please go check it out. All 6 seasons are on Netflix now. And then, man, fuck, that should be my number 1. God damn it. But yeah. Matt, what you got?
Well, first I have a comment on what you were saying about Ted Lasso starting his commercials. You said that like you had forgotten about the television classic Cavemen, the show based off the Geico Cavemen commercials. There's only 13 episodes back in 2007, but it was
completely forgot they made a show about that. Wasn't it starting like Will what's his last name?
English?
Yes, I think so.
Yep, and that is the Nick Kroll was involved, oddly enough. I want to hunt that down. But anyway,
of course Nick Kroll was involved. Yeah.
But anyway, so on to actually good instead of ironically good television. My number four is the entirety of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Started that show, and then they had a new season release in February to April of this year.
Is it over?
No, but I don't know. I hadn't watched any of it. So I guess not the entirety. So Brooklyn Nine-Nine up until
this point.
Yes, up until this point. Yeah, just going back to Palm Springs, big fan of Andy Samberg. And I think that it pokes the right amount of fun at the certain parts of like policing. And just like they have this great characters and sort of pair them up in unique ways. And that's always sort of a test of a really good sitcom, in my opinion. My number three, it's gotten some talk before, is Ozark. I think the inclusion of Wendy's brother kind of, and as well as the the FBI auditor character, brought this show from good to great. Just continuing to raise the stakes, and I'm almost glad that this was kind of the penultimate season, that they only have one more, because I feel like if they even tried to do two more after this one, they would just have to keep sort of artificially raising the stakes. So that did my heart good to hear that. So then my number two, kind of the cliche of quarantine from this year, but it is Tiger King. So there's really nothing that can be said about this that hasn't been said. So I will once again play my podcast thing. And I was familiar with the story due to, what studio is that? The show is called Over My Dead Body. They cover Wondery. Wondery is the podcast network, but they cover like murder for hire plots. And the Joe Exotic story was season two. And then heard that this was coming out, and I was like, all right, I've heard everyone's voice. Now I just have to see if they look and act as ridiculous as they talk, and you bet your sweet butt they do. So that is my runner up for season of television of this year, Tiger King. Mitch, what's your, what are your good, but not quite number one, of this year?
Well, at number four, I've got The Mandalorian, which this was difficult, especially based on the last episode in particular and how the season ended. But I feel like with the other shows that I have, I felt like this, putting Mandalorian at number four, was a good spot for it. It breaks my heart. I mean, I got this little baby Yoda right here. And I can't put this show any higher than number four, just based on the shows that I thought were a lot better, either stylistically or story-wise, going forward. So at number three, I also have Ozark. At number three, I really caught this show this year. So this could be season one through three. Cause I jumped on the bandwagon once this third season came out. I kind of was like, well, I should probably finally watch this show. So I did. And I just thought that it was great. It brought me back to when I was watching Breaking Bad. Just those same like storyline, it is very similar storyline threads that kind of run through Breaking Bad, also really hit hard in Ozark, and this third season was crazy. So big shout outs to the cast. Love the cast of Jason Bateman, Laura Linney, and Julia Garner, and obviously they brought in some bigger roles for other people, I think, going into the next season. So, but that's what I got at number three. At number two, I have a one-off season that was on HBO, I Know This Much Is True, starring Mark Ruffalo. This show I thought was just really great. I need to read the book to really flesh out more of what the characters were like and stuff like that. But shit, what do I want to talk about with this show really fast?
I don't know if you can.
I'll just give a premise of it from the Wikipedia or IMDb, because this show is just really well done, really well acted by Mark Ruffalo. Has to play two different characters, the two twin brothers. But the premise is middle-aged Dominic Birdsey recounts his troubled relationship with Thomas, his paranoid schizophrenic twin brother, and his efforts to get him released from an asylum. And it's really just like a character drama and really well done. I mean, I could talk, do a whole episode on that, which would be cool, but yeah, that's what I got rounding in at number two, rounding up to number two. Is that what I want to have it? Fucking shit. Logan, what do you got at number one?
My number one might come as a surprise to many, but it's Tiger King.
Oh,
I'm just kidding. It's The Mandalorian season two. me and Mitch went up and down the wall about Mandalorian all season long for the past 10 weeks. So I won't hit much more. Part of me really wants to give that slot to Schitt's Creek for the number one. They deserve it. But I gotta give that leg up to what Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau have done with Disney Plus. At least on the Star Wars side, it not only took all of my critiques about the first season and fixed them, but made them also better. But you know, every episode fired on all cylinders. There's not much you can say. Of course, the underlying, like the fact that fucking Luke Skywalker pops up in the finale episode. It just is a bonkers show. I can't wait to see what we get next. Well, I know what we're getting next. We're getting the Cassian Andor prequel series in the early summer, and then the Book of Boba in the fall. So let's fucking go. I got my baby Yoda over there. His ears are down, but they should be up because you got the number one slot, dude. You got the number one slot. I know. Schitt's Creek's good, but yeah, just a fantastic show. Big props to Disney. You know, everyone hates Disney for what they did to Star Wars, but I think most fans can unanimously agree that this is the best thing that Disney has done with Star Wars since they acquired LucasArts. So yeah, that's all I can say. Mandalorian season two, check it out, please. I'm about to start watching, I think, the gallery for season two of The Mandalorian. So I can't wait to see how they made it and the decisions they made for the season. So Matt, what you got at your number one show this year?
My number one is The Queen's Gambit. I thought this was just thrill ride, like throughout, maybe one episode that was a bit slow, but other than that, it was just phenomenal television. I think it really uses the format of the miniseries perfectly. I think it would have been just too much whiplash, like as a movie, to make it like a reoccurring show. It definitely would have had a lot more filler, or just like what wouldn't have worked as perfectly as I did. As soon as you're getting a little sick of a time period or a particular conflict, move to something else. So it's just great. I love it. It made me want to try and get more chests. So I downloaded a game. So if you're out there playing on Lee Chess, LICHESS, we'll link and you'll probably smoke me because I'm terrible at chess. So
no one's linking No one's linking their chess username.
Lee Chess. Let's do it. Not yet, you mean. Whole squad can be Lee Chessing it up. Yeah, man. That's really all I got about it, because I have to stop myself. So, Mitch, what was your best TV season of the year?
At number one, I have a show that I talked about weeks or months ago that was, to me, the best TV show that I've seen in probably since Breaking Bad. Number one is Dark on Netflix. German TV show. Really, that just is about so much. I mean, there's family drama, there's crime, there's the thriller aspect to it. It's also about time travel. I mean, there's so much shit that goes on in this show that it's just crazy to try and even talk about it, like, even by standalone seasons. Like, I tried basically talking to Austin, a friend of ours, Logan, about this show. And it's very complex, but at the same time, they don't leave any holes open to let anything basically, like, they basically fill an hour. I think they're hour long episodes, and they're able to get all the information that they need to get the story across, and like all this time travel shit that is super crazy, because they're traveling forward in time, they're traveling back in time, they're meeting themselves, they're like, it's crazy. Highly recommend. It is in German, the standard version, so you can watch it with subtitles, but they also have an English dub, I believe, on Netflix as well, that I watched it under, and the voice acting is really good in for the dub. But I feel like this is a show that there's only going to be three seasons. This was the final season that was released this year. But I watched the entirety of it starting this year. It was one of the shows that I watched going into quarantine. And I think I watched the first season, at least the first couple of episodes, a couple of times to try and figure out what was going on, and then finally caught on and finished the show all the way through. But really good show. Highly recommend Dark on Netflix. That's what I got at number one.
There you go, guys. There's our top movies and TV seasons of the year. I can't wait to do this. For some reason, I thought of Tim Cook when I said I can't wait, because all of Apple's press conferences, he's like, I can't wait till you get your hands on these products. I can't wait to record this again at the end of this year, being that we're going to see so, fingers crossed, we're going to see so much good shit this year. Hopefully the movie one is almost impossible to make. I'm not sure about what's coming TV-wise this year, but goddamn, the movie list is going to be fire. I already know it. So thanks for listening, everybody. And just stay tuned for more Binge Boys, man. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I don't know if I told Matt this or Mitch this, but I'm guaranteeing, and I'm holding myself to this, that there's going to be two episodes a week for the Binge Boys, at least for the rest of the year. And whether those are more episodes of the run through, I do two episodes already with Megan and Emily. I got two other weeks. I got Matt and Mitch here. I'm sure you boys wouldn't be opposed to watching an old favorite every once in a while and talking about it.
Well, yeah, that would be cool. That works, though.
Huh?
You and I got something in the works, though.
Oh, we do. Me and Matt got something that we're going to debate about.
I think I know what this is.
You exactly. You very much.
I saw, know exactly. I think I saw a spoiler on the spreadsheet.
You did. but going forward, I think we got some good stuff coming for 2021, otherwise known as 2020 fun. So, with that being said,
this close to winning.
Follow us on Instagram, Binge Boys Podcast. Why are the roses in the background? Did I leave those there?
Yes, you totally did.
Have a great night, everybody. Bye-bye.